Never like you to leave without a message, and I have a message for you this week. And it's called Believe for More. Believe for More. And earlier this week, I was talking to a guy, and I was telling him some of the stuff I was doing, and he said, I can't believe that. And he was saying that because it was something that was beyond the normal, something beyond what you normally have for. And I was thinking about that, and I was thinking, really? Because he's supposed to be a believer. And if you're a believer, if you believe in the things that God said and the promises that God made, then you need to be able to believe for more. You need to believe for more than just the usual or the regular or the average or the mundane or the things that you expect and see all the time. Let's go down and read this verse here. This is in Hebrews. Oh, yes, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So this is faith. This is what faith is. Now, when I talk about believing, I'm talking about faith. I'm talking about what are you believing. Now, if you're only believing the things that you are seeing, you don't really need faith. You don't need faith if you already can see something in your life, if you've already got it. You need to believe for the extraordinary. You need to believe for what you don't have beyond what you can see. You need to believe for more. You need to be stretching your believing for amazing and miraculous things. Now, if you're only believing for the simple things like, gee, I hope my key works when I put it into my car and I turn on the car. That's pretty simple. Your key normally does work when you stick it in, right? Or, you know, if you're using your key in your front door, right? If you're just believing for it to work this time, well, it's worked 1,000 times before. So you don't need a lot of believing for that because you kind of already know this is the right key. I have it marked. I know this is the front key to my door. And if I put that in, it's going to unlock it. So you don't really need a lot of faith for that. But a lot of people, this is how they use their faith. They're using it for just regular, average things that they do all the time. And what God is asking us to do is He is asking us to believe for the things we don't see. And they might be things that we have never seen. We may have never seen anybody on the face of the earth do or receive something that we're believing for. And that's the kind of believing that God is asking us to believe for. He is asking us to have faith for the unseen, for the things that we do not have, for things that we may never have seen. But God has spoken into our hearts and He has said that this is a dream I'm putting in your heart. You can do this. I have given you the ability to do this. And now that you have this ability, all you need to do is believe. Have faith and it will be possible to do this. So we need to believe for more than just the regular or the average. Say amen to that.
Amen.
Thank you. This requires us to have the right understanding. Because I think what happens is we often picture God as the 9/11 God, the 911 God, meaning that whenever we're in trouble and we need help, we now call on God. That's when we begin to expect His help and we begin to believe, my car got wrecked and now I need some help because I can't get to work, God. Please help me to get to work, God. Or I'm sick. Oh, man, I woke up and I've got the flu. God, can you help me? Please heal from this. And so we often think of God like the 911 God. And if we're thinking Him like that, we're not really got the full picture of who God is. And yes, God is a helping God. God is a God who rescues, and that's what He has to do for us first right now because we were in a state that needed rescuing. And so His first part was to save us. And once we received Jesus into our heart, we are now rescued, we are saved. That part is finished. That's it. Now we've got to begin to see God in a bigger picture because He is not just the 911 God. He is actually a God who is a blesser. He wants to bless us, meaning He wants you to have more in your life than you have now. He wants you to have more happiness. He wants you to have more joy. He wants you to have more love. He wants you to have more success. He wants you to have more prosperity. He wants you to have more of everything in your life. God is a blesser. That is the kind of God that he is. And if we're just using him as the God that is 911 God or the rescuing God, then we're only calling upon him when suddenly what we consider normal or our usual life has slipped and fallen down a little worse than normal. Then we call on him and say, oh, can you bring us back up to the normal, what we're used to? Because suddenly I realize I'm not feeling well. God, can you help me and pull me back up to the normal? And God is not asking us to just use him to just keep us at an average kind of mediocre level. Once we have been saved, God is saying to us that he wants us to believe for more so that he can bless us in extraordinary ways. And now we have to be able to see and picture beyond the normal. We have to see the things that are unseen, meaning we cannot see them with our physical eyes. We've got to see them with our hearts. We've got to see them with our souls, because God begins to speak into us and he gives us visions and he gives us dreams. And that requires for us to be, you might want to write this down, it requires for you to be vision-minded versus provision-minded. Vision-minded versus provision-minded. See, we call on the 911 God when we need provision. Oh my God, I don't have enough money for rent. Can you help me? Oh God, I need some health. I think I'm catching a cold. You know, we call on him when we're lacking provision. But that makes us provision-minded. We're always thinking about what we're lacking, what we're needing, where we're short. Can you help me out, God? I need a few cents and a few bucks here. You know, instead of realizing God's got so much more. See, he wants us to be vision-minded. If we have a vision for where we're going in our life, God is giving us a dream all the time and a vision. He is speaking into our hearts, and he is showing what you are possible, what's possible with you, what you're capable of, and he is telling you that you are unique, you are special, and you're the only one like you that I've created. And I have given you a special assignment, and I want you to have a special life, an amazing life. A life of victory and a life of blessing beyond anything you ever possibly could have ever imagined in your entire life. And here's what it looks like. And then he begins to show you the vision. And he wants you to be vision-minded rather than provision-minded. He wants you to grab a hold of that vision and say, yeah, I've been living just mediocre, normal, kind of average, going along, and I want to have more than that. And now it requires you to believe for more. Now you've got to stretch your believing beyond anything you have experienced in your history. Because quite often when we're doing the normal, it's because our history has said, this is who I am. And so all of my experience say, this is what I'm capable of. This is only, you know, this is how good I am. And this is the way my life is. And this is the way I am. And God is saying, nope, you are so much more than that. You are capable of so much more, and I have a vision to show you. He has to show us that vision because we've got to see something beyond where we are so that we can begin to look higher, we can begin to look farther. So now we can begin to stretch and strive and step and walk and move towards what God is telling us. And it all starts with the believing. Amen. Now, let's talk about believing, because if you believe this, if you believe the promises of God, they will work. And if you don't, it won't. It's that simple. You're either going to believe it or you're not going to believe it. If you believe it, it will work. Say amen to that. Yeah. It will work. It's a guarantee. It's a promise. God has already fulfilled all the blessings already. When Jesus came and walked on the earth, he conquered every single darkness. Every single obstacle that would ever come against you, he got power over it. Every single sickness that would ever try to pull you down or make you feel worse or take your energy away, he conquered that too. It doesn't matter what it is. He already conquered those things. And now when you receive Jesus into your heart, you receive the power of God, the Spirit of God on the inside. And it is that same Spirit that now that has already overcome every obstacle, every sickness, everything that's going to try to pull you down or stop you. You've now got that power inside of you. Say amen to that. Amen. So you've got that power inside of you to conquer every single obstacle, sickness, darkness, falsity. It doesn't matter what it is. You've got the power inside of you.
Amen. Amen.
Now it requires the believing. Because as I said, if you believe it, it will work. It's a guarantee that we have. It cannot fail. It has to work because it's already, the victory has already been given to us. Just think about it. Before we even started, we've already won. Not a lot of games like that that you already know that you've already won before you even started. And yet in our life, we already know that we already won. We have the victory already. All that's required now is we got to believe it. Now, if we choose not to believe it, and it is about choice, and every one of us has to choose. And this gentleman that I was talking to earlier, and I was telling him, and it was about actually lifting weights, as a matter of fact. I was going to the gym, and I was doing these leg presses, and I was telling him about this weight that I was leg pressing, and it was a very heavy weight. It was like more than 2,000 pounds. And he said, "I can't believe that." But he was a believer. And the whole point is, okay, you may never have seen that done in person. You may not have seen me do it, but what's required of believing is you either choose to believe or you choose not to believe. Now, if you choose not to believe, that means you're not really going to ever be using the power of God to step up and do greater things. We weren't told to do average, mediocre, and normal things. We don't require believing for doing the normal. We don't require that. Anybody can do average things without faith, without God. Why do we even need God if we're just going to expect to receive the average, to do the mediocre? Do we really need God's help to do that? We could just go through life being average, regular people without God's help. Where we really need God, though, is to do the extraordinary, to do the miraculous, to do things above and beyond what anybody else could ever expect. Now, nobody would probably believe, just looking at me, that I could do that, the things that I do. But I believe for something greater. I believe in something greater. And I believe that the Spirit inside of me is doing the work.
Amen.
I believe that the Spirit inside of me can do far greater things. And for all of you, you are comprised of a spirit and a body. And you can fall and believe that when you look in the mirror that this body that we see is all that we are. Or you can believe there's something greater. You can believe in the Spirit. You can believe in the power of the Spirit. And you can start to understand that your spirit is far greater, far stronger, and that when we let our spirit be in control, it can lift our physical body to do things beyond the physical. That means you can do things physically you never thought were possible if you let the Spirit within do the work. But again, it requires believing. It requires that we believe it's possible. And if we believe it, now we can begin to achieve it. So it still starts with being vision-minded rather than provision-minded. So now, as you start to think about that a little bit, start to think about how God has filled you with a spirit that can overcome things of the physical, meaning you can go beyond what the average person does. It does require us to believe, though. If we go down here and we read in let's read in Mark here. Mark chapter 11 and verse 24, it says, "Therefore I say to you," this is Jesus speaking, "whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." Again, he says, if we're praying for something and we believe that we receive it, we now have them. You already have them. As I said, you've already won because you've already got the victory even before you started. You've already got that victory. All right? Same thing when we're praying. When we're praying, if we're believing for something to do something, and that's how it started. If I go back to my example, how did I lift that much weight? I believed that I could. I believe that I could long before I could. Because a couple of years ago, there was no way that I could even do half of that. But I began to see it. God began to speak to me and show me something that I'd never seen done in person. I saw it done on videos or whatever, sure. But I never saw it done in person, and I certainly never saw it done by me. At least not in the last 20 years. And He began to show me this vision. I started seeing that I could do this again. I could do this. I had that within me. And God began to talk to me that you have the power within you. I created you with this power. Let the Spirit within do the work. And so every day when I was going and working out, and well, I guess the 2 times a week that I went, you know, I was believing for that. I was believing that God could do this through me. And the more that I let Him, the more I, you know, moved towards this vision. I just kept holding on to this vision and moving towards it. You know, and so this is how it starts. We have to believe for something beyond what we now think is normal. Let God begin to open your heart. And if you are already praying for something, and it might seem like something that's impossible, it might seem like something that you never could do, and maybe you've never seen anybody be able to do this, but all you need to do is believe. That's what's required. So we just have to believe. And here's an interesting thing. Faith puts a demand on the supply. See, I'm not asking you to put a demand on yourself. And this is where we sometimes get confused, because when I begin to talk about you doing greater things, some of you go home and you start to beat yourself up. You got to work harder. You got to try harder. You got to put more effort in. Put your nose to the grindstone, because this will never going to happen if you don't really put the effort in. And I'm not saying to go home and put the demand on yourself. See, faith puts the demand on the supply. Where does the supply come from? God. God is the supply. And so what we want to do is put the demand on God. And that means for whatever you're believing for, you're putting the demand on Him, because He's the supply. Don't put the pressure on yourself. Put the pressure on God. Now, we can put the pressure on Him because we have a contract. It's called a covenant. Contract, and we get to hold that up and say, hey, look at this, God. We both agreed to do this. And by doing that, we have an agreement with Him. So we now can begin to put the demands on Him, because He guaranteed us that He would be helping us. And so a lot of times you guys are putting pressure on yourself. I got to try harder. I got to work more hours. I've got to do this, you know, do this, do that, or I'm not going to have this. We're putting it on the wrong place. Faith puts the demand, meaning when we're believing what God said, we're putting the demand on the supply, on the supplier. We're putting it on Him. It's His job to fulfill that. And that's true also. Did I spend more time in the gym working out to make this happen? Did I suddenly increase the amount of hours that I was going to the gym? I probably decreased the amount of hours that I was going to the gym, because it wasn't up to me to do this. Yeah, I had to still go and do a little bit, but it wasn't up to me to find a way to lift this weight. It was up to God to work through me and do this. So I kept putting the demand on Him. You said that I could do this, God. Use that power, the Spirit within. The Spirit within is doing this work. Do it. You know, it's your job to do it. And so the Spirit within started to work through me to do greater things. See, when we start to put the demand on the supply, and we start to understand that we are both spiritual and physical, and now we let our spirit take the lead. Let the Spirit work. Let the body relax in the Spirit. The Spirit can now begin to lift the body to a new level. It can lift it beyond what you thought was possible. And I mean that in all situations. If it's in terms of performance, if it's in terms of, you know, I'm talking about physical performance, but we can also talk in terms of, you know, mentally, you know, about thinking and coming up with ideas creatively. If you're trying to be creative and come up with concepts and different inventions and stuff, if we let the Spirit within do the work, now the power of God begins to flow out of us, and we can come up with far greater ideas than you ever thought were possible. So it's about allowing the Spirit within to do that work for it to happen. Now, God wants us to see and receive more, but we have to believe it. We have to believe to see. See, we don't see unless we believe, because we're seeing that. I'm talking about seeing that vision, seeing the vision of God, the vision that He's put in your heart. And obviously, there are greater things than this example that I'm giving you right now. There are greater things that God wants us to do in our life. There are people out there that need healing. And He's going to speak into your hearts and tell you, this blind man needs to be healed. Now, if you start to look at it from the physical, because remember, let me go back to what it said about faith, because this is where we got to apply that faith. Here, and he said, no, it's not that one. Oh, here. Nevertheless, where did I put that verse? Oh, here. And while we are looking at the things, yeah, and while we do not look at the things that are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. That's the verse I wanted. So, now, we got to see beyond, because we got to see the things that are eternal, and that's the Spirit. It's the Spirit within that is eternal. The things that you're seeing right now in your life are only temporary. And yet God has something greater that He wants to work through you. He wants that Spirit to work through you so that you can be changed and transformed on all levels, at all times. And that's the power that He has given you. We just have to remember, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Meaning we will not see it, but when we start to believe it, now it begins to manifest in our life, and we can begin to have it. Does this make sense to you guys?
Amen.
You're starting to get this? So I'm asking you to believe for more. I don't want us to go through life just accepting the norm. I don't want you to just start to look for what you already got yesterday, expecting that, that's all I need. We need great faith. We need great faith to do great things. Think about this. What kind of faith do you need to survive an entire night in a lion's den of hungry lions so that they don't eat you? What kind of faith does that take? That takes a great kind of faith. That takes a faith beyond the normal. It takes an extraordinary faith to allow the power of God to work in you to close the mouths of the lions so that they do not eat you. If they're hungry, man, they want to eat. Right? But yet that's what Daniel did. Daniel was able to be in this lion's den and not be eaten because his faith was working. He was believing that his God was protecting him. And he had a guarantee. He was standing there going, lions, sorry, but I got a guarantee. You can't eat me because God said, I'm not going to be eaten tonight. You're going to have to wait for tomorrow for food. See, he was confident in that. He was bold in that. And that's the kind of things that we need our faith for. We don't need faith for the average. We need faith for the extraordinary and for the miraculous. What kind of faith do you need when you go and you get thrown into a fiery furnace and you stand in the midst of the fiery furnace and it does no harm to you and you can come out of that furnace unscathed, unharmed, unhurt, not even smoke on your clothes? What kind of faith is that? That's a great faith. And yet that's the faith that we've got. You've all got that faith. Because I'm not saying that you have to believe on your own. You're using the faith that Jesus had. You can use His faith to do great things. So again, we're going to put the demand on the supply, not on yourself. So don't put the pressure on yourselves to believe more. You begin to just know and believe. And you choose that. You choose that believing. And once you've chosen it, that's it. Just stick to it. And now, let the Spirit within begin to work to get that believing going. Now, both of those were kind of 911 believing in faith, because they were kind of emergency situations. Lions might eat me, I might get burned by fire, right? But here's another one. Think about this one, where Moses is out in the wilderness. He has brought all the people of Israel out of Egypt. There are some 3 million people with him. Think about that. And they're wandering around in the wilderness, in a desert. They're wandering around. Who is feeding them? God is feeding them. And how is that happening? It is happening through believing. Through believing that God will feed them. Now think about it. 3 million people walking in the wilderness. And they've got to be fed by God. Not just once, but every single day for 40 years. Now, what kind of faith does that require? That's the kind of faith I'm talking about for you guys. I'm talking about believing for more. See, if you're only believing for your rent to be paid, gee, God, I sure could use that rent to be paid this month, then you're not believing big enough. God needs us to believe bigger. What am I talking about? I'm talking about believing that you have enough not only to pay your own rent, but everybody else on the block. I'm talking about that not only do you have enough to pay your rent and everyone else on the block, but you've got enough to buy houses for everybody on the block.
Amen.
I'm talking about having that kind of faith. And if God can feed 3 million people every day for 40 years out in the wilderness when there's nothing, then he can provide you with that kind of provision. I'm talking about financial provision where you now can be a blessing. See, God is a blesser and he wants to bless you. And he wants to bless you for a specific purpose so that you can go out and be a blessing to others.
Amen.
Imagine how you can change the world when you start to believing for greater things. How you can transform the lives of other people once you have that power to believe in healing. How you could change the sick, the crippled, those with cancer, those that are depressed. Suddenly their lives could be turned around just because you believe for more. You're not just believing for your own healing now. You know, you've got a cough due to cold. Doesn't take a lot of believing for that to be healed, right? What do we need? A little bit of fluids, some chicken soup, some Robitussin. We're good. But now if we start to believe not only for our own healing, but for the healing of that entire hospital of cancer patients, and believing that the Spirit can work through me, the Spirit can work through you, for that to happen. I'm asking you to believe for more because God wants us to believe for more. God is a blessing God, and he wants us to be the blessing. Those that believe and receive Jesus into their heart, he wants you to be the blessing, to go out into the world and let his blessing flow unto every single person and situation so that situations can be changed, circumstances can be taken down, and people can be healed, and everybody can walk in prosperity. And that's the believing that God is giving to us. Say amen to that.
Amen.
So we got to put that, we got to understand that. Now, faith fuels your future. You might want to write that down. Faith fuels your future. Now, remember, I talked about being vision-minded. And if we're vision-minded and we're walking in faith believing, our future is being fueled. We are being not just carried towards our future, but we're being carried towards it lightning fast. When we're walking in faith, everything is about the future because we're looking towards the vision. We're not looking... See, when we're living by the average, the mundane, everything we know, we're really living by the past because we're looking and we're just making sure, do I have as much as I had yesterday? Do I have as much? Am I getting what I'm used to getting from the last 10 years, right? We keep looking at that. And if we got the normal, we're okay. We don't need God. We're all right. I got everything normal, right? If we got less than normal, then we got to call on God. Oh, God, you know, can you bring us back up a little bit because I'm less than normal? We're always looking back, though. But see, when we're faith-minded, faith is fueling our future. Faith is all about what is happening out there. And it's always something greater. God wants us to be stepping up, moving higher into something greater all the time. That's where it is. And that's why I say faith is fueling our future. Because if we're walking and believing more, it's always about looking ahead. Looking where we're going, looking what's happening tomorrow. And it's always about looking higher. We're not looking for tomorrow to be the same. We don't need faith for that. Because if I already see it today, then I don't need faith for that. I need faith for the unseen. I need faith for the stuff that God is speaking to my heart so that I can now look out to the future and see something higher, something greater. That's where God is taking me. And that's where we need to go. And this is why, you know, as we continue to believe for more, this is why we have to stretch ourselves beyond day after day after day. We've got to get more of those words of truth into us so that our mind can be expanded and our awareness can be expanded. Because you might have gotten so used to just settling. You might have gotten so used to just not thinking about anything greater than you've already got. Maybe you think, well, that's not humble, Ted, to be expecting so much. Well, we don't have a humble God. We've got a powerful God. We've got an amazing God. We've got a blessing God. He didn't say, oh, gee, I'm not going to give you anything. You know, he said, I want to bless you and give you above and beyond all things. I want you to have power and authority. See, he created us in his own image. And he created us in his own image because he wanted us to have the power and ability to overcome every obstacle that stands against us. It doesn't matter whether it's sickness. It doesn't matter whether it's poverty. It doesn't matter whether it's darkness. We have that authority in Jesus' name. And now we just have to believe for more and begin to walk in that and continue to put that demand on the supply, and we will have it in Jesus' name. Say amen to that.
Amen.